Please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be looking in our journey through the Bible to Proverbs today. Our text that I have chosen to represent in the book of Proverbs is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 is part of God's holy and living and life-giving word. This is what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son. We pray, Lord, that you who know all things, who are all wise, would teach us to walk in wisdom and to live life well as your covenant people. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, the book of Proverbs is a collection of wisdom statements for the people of God. It begins with an elaborate invitation to wisdom in chapters 1 to 9. These chapters are depicted as fatherly advice in which a father teaches his son how to live wisely. And then the rest of the book of Proverbs gives us all kinds of proverbs and sayings for every situation in life. Think about family or marriage or the courtroom or finance or farming. All areas of life are covered and they teach us how to live well. Now, even if you read the book of Proverbs casually or quickly, you will see the uniqueness of this book in the Bible. There's no other book of Proverbs nor anything else like it in the Bible. There are small statements similar to Proverbs, but as a book, the book of Proverbs stands alone. But it doesn't mean that this is a unique Bible in the ancient Near East in which the Bible was originally written long ago. You see, the book of wisdom, or the book of Proverbs, is a book of wisdom, and there were many such books of wisdom at the time. As a matter of fact, if we go to other books that are similar, some of the Proverbs that we are familiar with, we'd see similarities to the Proverbs in those wisdom books. And so some scholars have come up with the conclusion, well, the book of Proverbs is just a collection of borrowed Proverbs from other wisdom books in the ancient Near East. Well, to that we respond that the book of Proverbs is very different from the wisdom books in the ancient Near East. As a matter of fact, the book of Proverbs stands by itself. There are similarities because life is similar. It is true in as a Christian, if you treat your people well as a king, it will go well with you. And so it is in a non-Christian nation. If you treat your people well, things will go well with you. It is true for a husband. If he loves his wife and cares for her, it will go well. And it's the same for a non-Christian. And so there's a lot of similarities about wisdom books, but Proverbs is unique because the book of Proverbs is not just speaking about wisdom for life. It's not just speaking about how to live well, but it speaks about how to live wisely as the covenant people of the living God. In other words, it's not just speaking about wisdom, how to survive, but how to live as God's people. And so it doesn't teach us merely how to live in our horizontal relationship, but everything is connected to how we live before God. That is how we treat one another. That is how we care for one another. That is how we decide what goes into our mouth or what places our feet wander or who we marry. Every relationship horizontally, how to live life, is affected directly with our relationship with God. And so the book of Proverbs, good scholars have recognized that this is very different in tone and theme as any other book ever written. The book of Proverbs teaches the covenant people of God how to live rightly with God and with one another. In the matter of saying, we could say this way, the greatest commandment is to love God and love your neighbor. The book of Proverbs gives us practically how we can live out that love towards God and love towards one another. Now, you may have noticed this before, but the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters, and almost every or many months in the year have 31 days. So I would highly recommend, if you have the opportunity, to read one book of one chapter of Proverbs a day, whatever day it is of the month, and you continue on and get the Proverbs in your heart and your mind, because they are very practical in how to live life well. Now, somebody told me right before the service that the book of Proverbs, a young man could begin preaching in Proverbs 1:1 and spend the rest of his ministry going through the Proverbs and never end the book, because they are so rich, there are so many, and they're so filled with truth from all over the Scripture. And so what I want to do with you is look at the book of Proverbs and look at three aspects of the book of Proverbs that I hope will help you understand the book better. Because if you're like me and you read through the Proverbs regularly, you might think, well, there's just endless wise statements. Some are similar, but this is an enormous collection. And how do I organize this in my mind, and how do I use this practically for my life? So we're going to look at it as from three aspects. First, we'll look at the way that Proverbs looks at life, and we're going to say that Proverbs looks at life as a journey. Secondly, we're going to be listening to Lady Wisdom and see who that is. And lastly, we're going to be talking about measuring up to the virtuous woman, which is, of course, especially for our sisters. Let's begin with the first one, life as a journey. Daniel Estes points out that the author of the book of Proverbs repeatedly describes life as a journey. It describes life in words of a way, a road to travel, a journey to undertake. And so to live life well, we need to learn how to survive on this journey through life. Not just through your age, one year after another, but as you journey through life, you meet many different aspects of this world. You first learn in your journey how to walk like a child, then as a young adult, an adult, and then a senior. And as you travel along this path, there are many dangers, many pitfalls that you can fall in, many ways where you could turn and take a wrong turn and pretty much ruin the rest of your life. We've all heard of stories like this, of one wrong turn and life is ruined. And so it's not only a journey, life is not only a journey, but it's a journey with great holes in the road, or at least great harm and danger lurking at both sides of the road. And as we travel through this life, we travel through this world, and we all face these challenges. The book of Proverbs teaches us how not to be overcome by any of these challenges. Let me put it this way. If you read the book of Proverbs and you follow all its wisdom, you will both live well on earth and go to heaven eternally. The book of Proverbs itself teaches us how to live well, how to have good relationships, and how to survive on this journey, and not only that, how to thrive through life. Now, where does it begin? What is the beginning? What's the first step of this journey? You see, there is much wisdom, and many people claim to be wise. We have a great many philosophers who philosophize about life and have many true statements. You can find many books of how to live life well, but most of them miss the first step of life, the most crucial step. The most crucial step is found in Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Or think about Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Or Proverbs 15, 33. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the journey of life, if you want to walk in wisdom. Without the fear of the Lord, you have no guarantee for wisdom, no, as a matter of fact, no opportunity for any real wisdom and lasting wisdom. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? Is the fear of the Lord a paralyzing fear? A fear that makes you tremble and just lie with your face in the dirt and never to dare to look up again? Is that the fear of the Lord? Some have described it that way, that the fear of the Lord is something of a deep angst, that you never dare to look to God, that you just feel this fear of you want to run away from God. Is that the fear of the Lord? No. As a matter of fact, I would argue that that doesn't lead to any kind of wisdom. Now, part of that may be true. The Lord is frightening in a real sense, for He is mighty, and if you turn against Him, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When Proverbs speaks about the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, or the fear of the Lord as the beginning of knowledge, it is not saying that you need to have the kind of fear that a criminal has for a police officer or a criminal for an executioner. Fear of the Lord here does not make us run and hide, but it's a fear of awesome reverence before God, of looking and seeing that God is the Creator and that we are but dust, that we are small, minute, tiny, and that He is a great and mighty God. So that as we see that great and mighty God and His majesty and His power and His glory, that there's something that begins to attack that thing in our heart that thinks, I know what I am and I know what to do and I'm always right. For the fear of the Lord destroys your confidence that you are the wisest on the earth. The fear of the Lord teaches us that He is great and we are but small. The fear of the Lord is knowing that God is your Creator, and that He's greater than you, that He is wiser than you, that He knows things better than you. And therefore, you can learn from Him and trust His ways. And so the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge, is the fear of the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, if you don't have a reverence for God and recognize that He is wise and you need to learn, you will never learn. You will never know how to live this journey through life. And so Proverbs begins very wisely with the fear of the Lord. And so a safe life starts with God. Now from here, Proverbs teaches us many things, but some are recurring themes that come back again and again. And that's not accidental. He doesn't mention certain topics many times because the proverb writer, the sage or the wise man had forgotten that he wrote it before. The reason why it occurs many times is because you and I need to hear it many times. We easily forget, or we don't see the importance if we don't see it again and again and again. Let me give you a couple of themes that reoccur. One, find a good wife, a good spouse, a good partner. For if not, if you find a bad spouse, life will be miserable for you. Secondly, in that finding your good wife, be faithful to her all your days. Rejoice in her. Make her the delight of your heart so you can walk with her faithfully until the end when you are separated. And with that, don't look at other spouses or other women when you're married. You say, well, that's a recurring theme. Oh, yes. It is there all the time. As a matter of fact, I would challenge you to find a topic more often discussed than don't look to another woman. Isn't that interesting? Of all the things in life, that's the one that gets emphasized again and again, and sometimes in story form, sometimes in a single statement, sometimes in an elaborate explanation. Why? Because the book of Proverbs knows better than our society today that if you live in faithfulness to your spouse, your life will go well and you will have somebody to walk with throughout the day until death separates you. To be faithful to your spouse, whether you are a husband to your wife or a wife to your husband, to be faithful is what secures your path in a major way. To keep you from sin, to keep you from falling, to keep you from ending in shame. Isn't that true? Men and women that look to other spouses or to singles, or to look outside of their marriage and lust after ones or men and women outside, what happens? Their life ends in shame. They get marked as a failure. You couldn't control your own desires. You were up to no good. And so they carry shame. And so Proverbs carries throughout this repeated refrain, be faithful, be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. Find a good wife and later find a good husband and be faithful all the days of your life. Not just be faithful, cherish the one you married. Don't just stick together, love each other. It's amazing, the emphasis on the book of wisdom, how to live horizontally in a vertical relationship, emphasizes be faithful to your spouse. Don't be pulled away by the forbidden woman. Don't be lingering away in secret, for she will destroy you. If you go in her path leads to death, and there is a body count of dead souls that have lost their honor. Be faithful to your spouse. Another theme. Don't walk with evil people. In our society, the standard of who you should befriend has often been in schools who is the funniest, who is the strongest, who's the most popular. And when people get older, who's the richest, who is the most influential, who's the most powerful? What does Proverbs say? Whoever is righteous, walk with him. Walk with her. Pick friends that walk in righteousness. Pick people that walk with God. Whether they're rich or poor, doesn't matter. Walk with people that are righteous. Make your friends of righteous people. Don't follow the foolish ways of the world that goes to death and cares about power and beauty and riches and all of that. That's not a, that might be accidental. Who cares? If you have a righteous friend, you will go well. If you have a wicked friend, you will be falling into their trap and soon you'll be wicked with them. Remember who your friends are and walk in righteousness. It's amazing that we don't teach this in schools, isn't it? I think most problems in America and any other country in the world would be solved if we just taught these two basic things so far in the book of Proverbs. Marry well, there'll be a whole lot of people that'll stay single, which might be a wake-up call and realize it's not about my beauty, it's about being a good man or good woman for me to find a spouse. Don't walk with evil people. Where are all my friends? Something must be wrong. Third, work hard. Don't be lazy. Don't steal from others. Repeated emphasis. Study the end. Work hard. Labor hard. Be a man who works strongly, firmly, consistently. Work hard. So you can build a stable life and won't have to steal from others. Work hard. So simple. And yet, so rarely practiced. I'm afraid less and less. Where people seek for free money. Think about the whole Bitcoin debacle. Young kids, 16, 17, 18 years old, become multimillionaires in a few days, or I wasn't really into following all of it, but in a short period of time, and now their life is ruined. They drive in cars they never worked for. They buy things they could never afford if they have to work with their own hands. Now they ruin their own soul. Work hard. Be determined to work hard. The last one, a recurring theme, and there's many more, and I wish I could walk through all of this because it's so crucial. The last one is don't speak too quickly. Don't talk so fast. Don't respond so quickly. Don't offend your neighbor. Don't be a needy person. Don't forget to help others. Yes, but don't speak so quickly. Think about what you're about to say. It's amazing the emphasis that Proverbs places on the tongue and how to use it and how to speak wisely and carefully and considerate. Not to just burst your emotions out, because you know what? Probably the first thing you want to say is not the best thing you should say. Your words are a strange thing, aren't they? They spring up in an instant, and where you're emotional, they spring up faster than you can recognize what they actually mean. They fly off your tongue, and as soon as they fly off, they can never be retracted. There is no delete button or a backspace button on your words. As soon as they fly off your lips, they're gone forever into the world of existence. And the ears that heard them may never forget what you just said. So Proverbs teaches us to speak carefully, to wait and speak. Now, why are all these things? I've been through all these things quickly. I've given you a few recurring themes. What are these themes about? Well, remember, life is a journey. And with every word that you're about to speak in any circumstance when you're about to say it, you can fall in a pitfall. Left side of the road, right side of the road. And your life can take a turn and fall apart. If you're not faithful, your life can be ruined forever. For the rest of your life. If you speak an uncareful word, a relationship can be ruined for life. If you don't work hard, you can lose what you've built up. Life is a journey. It's a careful journey. It's a journey that requires wisdom. And yes, we say wisdom comes with age, but in reality, you need wisdom before you age. You need to be wise before you're old. You need to know before you're retired. You need the book of Proverbs to teach you that life is a journey and walk it well. All right. Brings us to Lady Wisdom. The reason why I put this one in here is simply because Lady Wisdom appears in the book of Proverbs, but I think her theme recurs over and over, and I think many people have wondered what it's exactly about. She is first here introduced as wisdom in Proverbs 1, verse 20 to 23. We read, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? And fools hate knowledge. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you, and I will make my words known to you." Who is this wise voice of wisdom that cries aloud in the marketplace? The voice of wisdom, Lady Wisdom, that cries out to people who are walking here, most likely in the streets of Jerusalem or any other city. She cries out and loud in the marketplace. Who is this? Who is the one who is crying? Some have said Jesus Christ. I don't think Jesus Christ would be identified as a she, so I don't think it's Jesus Christ per se. Later on, as I answer fully, you'll see that yes, this is part of who Christ is as well, but I don't think that Lady Wisdom is the second person of the Trinity. And I think the best answer to the question of who this Lady Wisdom is in Proverbs 8, 22 to 23, where we read, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth." Wisdom was there before creation. Lady Wisdom, wisdom is very old. As a matter of fact, there is no beginning of her. She was from everlasting. Now some would say, Jesus is from everlasting, and I recognize that. But I don't think that wisdom is an actual person. I think Lady Wisdom is a depiction, a picture of wisdom and the wisdom of God Himself. Not just the Son, but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yes, we have read in the New Testament that wisdom is, Christ is the wisdom of God. But I think wisdom here is the wisdom of the triune God, not any particular person, but God as the God all-wise. I think Lady Wisdom is a personification of the wisdom of God that is obtained through the fear of the Lord. It is ancient, and it's from eternity past. And the wisdom of God cries aloud in the street today. You can hear the wisdom of God in any marketplace, in any street. It is not far away to know the wisdom of God. That's what Proverbs says, doesn't it? She is crying aloud. Wisdom is not hard to find. It has come to you and it seeks you out. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is the voice of God teaching you who your God is. Whether you live here or on the other side of the world, the wisdom of God always speaks to you in different ways. Let me read to you the whole passage in Proverbs 1, 23 to 33. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. In other words, wisdom is coming to every human being on the earth. You have heard the voice of wisdom. God has laid who He is and what He desires of you at your feet. But the question is, have you listened? Or have you turned a different way? Maybe sometimes we can call this conscience. Well, we know what is right, but we refuse to turn to what is right and follow to what is wrong. Verse 24 and following, because I have called and you refused to listen. I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all of my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Wisdom is God Himself speaking. The book of Proverbs teaches us that God speaks everywhere and all the time. And the reason why people's lives are such a mess, why people end up ruining their own lives, is because they have refused to turn when God set them to turn. They've refused to listen. They knew what they should have been doing, but they didn't want to. They chose for their temporary pleasures and not the wise ways of wisdom. If they had turned, God would have given them wisdom. But they reproved, or they refused His instruction. They turned away. You know that this is true of every person in this world. Look at somebody's life and see where their choices lead them. And then if you find an honest one, ask them, did you know that this was the wrong choice to do? Yes. I know I shouldn't have done it. Where has it led you to? To this terrible place. Where would you have been if you had not made that choice? I wouldn't have been here. I would have been there. What the book of Proverbs teaches us is quite remarkable. All of us in one sense, in the wisdom of God, communicate with God continuously. Not as a loving Savior, as we do as Christians, as we know and walk with Him, but even the most hardened atheist still hears the wisdom of God, what he should be doing, and rejects it over and over and over again. Sometimes we have this idea that an atheist walks around in the world and sometimes suddenly stands for God, and we have this idea, well, that's not fair. He never knew about God. But I think Proverbs teaches us that when they stand before God, they will recognize the voice of God because they have been rejecting it all their life long. It is a continuous attack against God's will and the voice of wisdom to go to hell. It is not a you turn once and you'll never hear from God. The wisdom of God cries aloud in the streets. In every street, in every marketplace, she cries out. The voice of God is everywhere calling us away. But if you push it away and you stop your ears and you keep running the wrong direction, then there will be a time where God says, I'll let you go and I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. Then you will seek me, but I will not answer. That's shocking, isn't it? I think the book of Proverbs teaches us things that are there in other places of Scripture, but never as clear as here. The wisdom of God is not far away. The ways of God are known to men, but they refuse to listen. You go to the tribe that has never been reached, have never read a Bible. You go to them and you ask them, is it right to murder? Oh no. No, it's not right to murder. Is it right to beat up your spouse? No, no, it's not right to beat up your spouse. Is it right to tell lies? Oh no. No, it's wrong to tell lies. Then why do you do it? Why do you do it? It's the wisdom of God. Reject it, even among those who've never had a Bible. The wisdom of God spreads throughout the earth, and all people know the wisdom of God, but reject it again and again. Now, why is this in the book of Proverbs? Because the book of Proverbs is not just to the world, it's to the covenant people of God. This is not an evangelism book, per se. This is a book to you and me who have come to know God and walk with God. So why is it here? It is to warn you to listen to the wisdom of God, to direct you and recognize that every part in your life must be informed by God's Word, and when you hear the wisdom of God, you walk in the wisdom of God, and you don't turn in your own ways and your own paths. For there is another voice. And no, I won't put you on the spot. But if I say, who is the opposite of Lady Wisdom? It's Lady Folly. That's another voice crying in this world. The way of folly is loud. We read in Proverbs 9:13-18, the woman of folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. What a description, isn't it? She's loud. She talks a lot, but she knows nothing. That's foolishness. To talk a lot while you know nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town. She sits in the place of honor in our world, calling those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn here. And to one who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That's foolishness. But if you look well, she sits at the highest place in town. She is the most prominent one in this world. You will hear her voice more than you will hear the voice of wisdom. Stolen water is sweet. Sin is going to be so pleasant. Look at that other woman in lust. It's going to be so pleasant. Keeping back some of your taxes is going to be so good for you. Gossiping about that other sister is going to make you feel so relieved. Looking down upon that man over there is going to make you feel so strong, so confident. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. You're in secret now. You can do what you want. You can satisfy your pleasures and nobody will know. This is a wonderful time. You can do whatever you want because nobody sees it. You can fill yourself with everything that the word that God forbids is going to be so sweet. She's loud. She is sitting in the most prominent place, and she whispers to you every day, be bitter, be lustful, be proud, be arrogant. Satisfy your own desires. Lady Folly is loud, but she knows nothing. And it says in verse 18, with the one who is like a bull led to the slaughter, but he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Did you know that the great majority of this world walks towards her, listens to her? You're in a world of people that go the wrong way, listen to the wrong voice, treat marriage, their children, their work, their life, their free time the wrong way. Listening to Lady Folly, she's louder. She sits prominent. She's everywhere. Wisdom is heard. God's wisdom is heard. But oh, Lady Folly, she screeches and she scratches louder than anyone else. This is the end of those who follow her. Proverbs 7, 21 to 23. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her. Man, do you see that? I want you to hear that again, because I've seen so many men fall and don't recognize how absolutely dumb and foolish it is. Let me read to how dumb this is. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With a smooth talk, she compels him, and all at once, he follows her. Oh, I think that's a good idea. And to sin. That's how silly it is, man. Women. You know it's wrong, but then somehow, all at once, like a child, you follow somebody that has a candy. As an ox goes to the slaughter, he loses his senses, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare and he does not know that it will cost him his life. You see that? Like a little bird. You're flying right into a net and you have no idea. You're going to be killed. Like a bull that just walks. Oh, this is a nice day. Butts, liver. Dead. Don't be that guy. Don't be foolish. If you know that it's wrong, wisdom is speaking to you. If you still desire it, Lady Folly is speaking too. Who will you listen to? Are you going to be an ox led to the slaughter? Are you going to be a little bird flying into a net to be killed? Or are you going to be filled with the spirit of wisdom, with God's truth, and stand and grow and stay on your journey until you're home with the Lord? Last point, measuring up to the virtuous woman. I know there's a lot of questions on this passage, so I want to talk about this briefly. The last stop in our journey through Proverbs has to be one of the most loved and one of the most dreaded passages in the book of Proverbs. I'll read it quickly to you. It's Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands to the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow or for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes her bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. That means her husband has an honorable position as he is part of the government of that town. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well at the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hand, and let her works praise her in the gates. What do we do with this passage, sisters and brothers? I've heard many explanations of this verse. Most recently, I have heard some people say that this is not realistic, that this woman is an exaggeration, that nobody can pass this bar. I think that's a terrible interpretation and not the point of this passage. But I also don't think that this passage describes every day and every single day of this woman's life. I think this passage is a celebration of godly women. Even more so, it's an instruction manual, if you will, for how to find a good wife. This is what you are to look for, men. This is the kind of woman you are to look for. And you are to be a man that is suitable for such a woman. Now, sisters, it doesn't mean that your light never goes out at night and you're up all night and all day and every morning and every night and in the snow, and this is not every day of your life. All right? So you can breathe. Sleep is a good thing. It is a blessing of the Lord. So don't read it as every day, this should be my entire day. There is rest, and rest is a good thing. But don't dismiss this passage so quickly. This is to be the description of your life as a whole. And it's not too high. It is attainable. There's nothing she does that is impossible. Now, I don't think that you have to, by necessity, plant a vineyard. I think all of those are pictures. As a matter of fact, if you plant a vineyard in some parts of the world, you'll not be very fruitful at all. I don't think you have to dress your children in the various materials that are mentioned here. But you get the point. To be a hard-working woman who is wise in her speech, who serves the Lord, and who's to be praised by her children and her husband. To be a good woman who works hard in the home, and mind you, she works outside of the home too, so that her home can be a good place when she is there with her children. And so what do we do here? Sisters, aim to be like this woman. This is a celebration. This is not to make you feel terrible. This is to inspire you, to help you, and see what areas of my life can I grow in. Men, if you look for a young woman, those of you who are younger, this is the kind of woman you want. But remember what it said in the end. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Don't be so interested in charm. Don't be interested in beauty. Be interested in character. Sisters, whether you are blessed with great beauty and everybody sees it or whether you're not, that shouldn't matter to a Christian man. For a Christian man is interested in the character and kind of a woman that you are. And I think every man, every married man can acknowledge that a woman of character who works hard is to be praised, who fears the Lord is to be praised. Don't spend your time on trying to be the most beautiful in comparison to other sisters. Be hard and diligent in learning how to speak wisely and to work well. This is what God wants a godly woman to look like. Trustworthy and good to her husband, working hard, running her household well, even conducting business to ensure that the children have what they need. She's diligent and does not waste her time by idleness. She does her work with excellence, and she is kind in speech and wise in her words. Then she will be praised by both her husband and her children and her eternal husband, her Lord and Savior. This is God's will for women. To be God-fearing, to grow, to be wise, to be kind, to work hard. And sometimes that means all night. And yes, if you work all night, you're not going to be on the picture of a magazine the next morning. But you'll be praised by everyone with sense. And so, sisters, don't dismiss Proverbs 31. And men, if you are not a man suitable to this, which means if you don't fulfill the rest of the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 to 31, the first half, don't even think about looking for a woman like this. Because she is precious. And she deserves a man that walks in wisdom and the fear of the Lord. So don't point to women and say, well, you got to be like Proverbs 31. Because it will come right back to you. Do you know how often it says son? That's 31 chapters, brothers. You fulfill those 31 chapters, then you point to 31, the last bit. So, closing. I wish we could look at Proverbs every week. I love this book. It's a wonderful book, isn't it? It's a book full of wisdom and teaches us how to live day-to-day life. So how do we apply this? We'll do this in 1 minute. Live in the fear of God. Look at Him. Follow His word, His instruction. Mostly, look how Christ lived. You go and live the same way as He lived. You love the same way that He loved. You look at God the same way as He looked to His Father. You look at Christ and be like Christ until you see Christ and be transformed into the same image perfectly. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would use the words of the book of Proverbs and teach us and instruct us. Lord, reprimand us in areas where we lack. Encourage us in areas where we're growing. Strengthen us in the areas where we're weak, so that we might be wise, full of knowledge, and live in a way that we can be praised by You. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.